Welcome to the February 2025 News Bulletin podcast for small craft and yacht marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our first podcast of the year with an introduction from IIMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear colleague, late last year I read an article that resonated with me and set me off on a train of thought because it concerned an issue facing not just the marine surveying profession but many other industry sectors too, even clubs and associations. The headline was "Grey Hair, Too Much on the Canals." What struck me was the correlation with the marine surveying profession. The article highlighted the need for younger people, with less grey hair, to step up and join the ranks. Let me assure you there is nothing wrong with grey hair per se. I have plenty, for with it comes knowledge, experience and expertise. But what happens when those grey hairs retire, fade away and disappear? Uncovering, educating and mentoring the next generation of marine surveying is becoming an ever more important and growing requirement. Continuing with the theme of the article for a moment, during the Inland Waterways Association's AGM, the issue of membership came up. This was not unexpected, and the subject wasn't discussed simply from a desire to increase IWA membership. It was to discuss the average age of the association's membership. The article mentions the lack of younger members, who are the future, wanting to take an active part and get involved. As a keen tennis player, I sit on my club's committee and indeed, we are all fully paid up members of the grey hair group, and in some cases the no hair group. Trying to get younger people engaged to join the committee is far from easy, in fact, it is impossible. So, back to the business of marine surveying. As the profession inevitably evolves and new technologies emerge, where will the next generation of marine surveyors come from and what skills will they need to acquire to prosper? I don't have a simple answer any more than you do. In the UK we are short of construction workers and builders, health professionals, teachers, graphic designers, technicians and engineers to name but a few professions. Today's generation, it seems, just have a different attitude to work and see things differently. How do we make the profession attractive to younger people? And how do we train them? The future route into marine surveying looks different to the one trodden by the present generation in the main. Of course, there is one key difference with the surveying profession and that earlier list of skills in demand I referred to, insofar as for most surveyors, this is their second career. Many have grey hair when they start, but I am sure you understand where I am coming from and hopefully share my concern. Mentoring is something IIMS has talked about a lot over the years at board level, and the Institute is keen to try and develop a formal mentoring program. This too is fraught with challenges, but not insurmountable, I believe. The first step is to understand if there are enough willing potential mentors around the world to make this practical. Mentoring someone less experienced can be highly rewarding for both the mentor and the mentee. In the past, mentors were concerned about training another local surveyor only for them to take that newly acquired knowledge and pinch their clients. But with technology as it is these days, a mentor could be in a different part of the country to their mentee, which means this is no longer a factor. So, to start the process, I would encourage you to listen in below, and if this is something you would be keen to know more about, please express your interest in becoming a mentor. Survey well, Mike. For our first story, IIMS is announcing the Marine Surveyors, P&I Clubs and Loss Prevention, Collaboration for Safer Seas Conference. This one-day event will be held on Tuesday 13th of May. It will be a hybrid online and in-person conference held at the Thomas Miller offices in central London. Save the date and watch for more details coming soon. More news from the Institute as IIMS is considering launching a formal mentoring scheme for members. If you are an IIMS member and interested in potentially becoming a mentor to other less experienced members and perhaps students, then we would like to hear from you, no obligation at this time of course. The Institute has assessed the possibility of developing a mentoring program but it is not an easy task. But thanks to an IIMS member who has come up with a blueprint, the proposal is now under serious consideration. But before any scheme can be launched, we need to know that there are enough potential mentors at worldwide locations who might be interested in doing this. For more details or to register your interest, please read the IIMS February News Bulletin at iims.org.uk. For our next story, the CA Orca project team has released a significant update to the Skipper's Comments Library, featuring over 40 new entries. A new category, Stopping the Boat, details the experience of skippers who stopped their vessel during an orca interaction. 2024 was the fifth season of orca interactions and the interaction location data, which shows there has been some consistency in the location and time of interactions along the Atlantic coasts of Spain and Portugal. However, compared to previous seasons, last year saw fewer interactions before April and a notable decline from June to August. The skipper's comments library compiles comments extracted from the full interaction reports, categorizing them into the different actions and measures that skippers have used to deter or end an interaction. This resource offers an accessible way to research the effectiveness of skipper actions based on first-hand accounts. Skippers can view comments categorized into different deterrent measures taken: reversing, noise, sand, continued sailing, motoring, stopping the boat, or other measures. The latest comments also include a very informative entry from a skipper who suffered a traumatic chase by orcas, which resulted in the yacht sinking shortly after rescue. Find out more at the ca.org.uk/orcas. Up next, the Water Revolution Foundation has issued an open letter outlining 4 recommendations to help foster more sustainable practices in the superyacht sector. These recommendations, billed as Yachting Resolutions for 2025, are aimed at yacht owners and family offices. The Water Revolution Foundation was started from within the superyacht industry to help the industry reduce its footprint. It is an independent Dutch legal entity called a stichting, which is an institution aiming to achieve a certain goal. The foundation's recommendations are as follows. Evaluate environmental performance. The Yacht Environmental Transparency Index is an industry-developed tool designed to benchmark yachts against a target reference line. This voluntary initiative helps owners and managers assess their yacht's efficiency in comparison to the wider fleet, identifying opportunities for improvement. The process is confidential and provides actionable insights. Adopt environmental crew guidelines. Encouraging yacht masters, crew, and managers to implement environmental crew guidelines can enhance environmental awareness on board. Allocate 0.5% of annual budget to ocean conservation. The foundation advocates dedicating 0.3% to 0.5% of annual yacht operational budgets to marine conservation efforts. Initiatives such as the Ocean Assist Program aim to restore ocean health through projects vetted by an independent scientific advisory board. Explore alternative fuels. Investigating cleaner fuel options, such as hydro-treated vegetable oil, is recommended by the foundation. HVO fuel can replace conventional diesel without requiring modifications to existing systems, thereby reducing environmental impact. Find out more at waterrevolutionfoundation.org. Next, the Irish Coast Guard has released facts and figures on its year in review of 2024. Last year was another busy and eventful year for the Irish Coast Guard. Throughout 2024, the Coast Guard coordinated 2,554 incidents, which included search and rescue, maritime casualty responses, and pollution and preparedness responses. The 44 Irish Coast Guard units were mobilized on 1,154 occasions over last year. The Irish Coast Guard continued to support communities across the country by providing 134 air ambulance flights in support of the offshore island communities. The Irish Coast Guard provided critical assistance to 537 people over 2024, preventing loss of life and/or delivering people to appropriate medical care. It also collaborated with the wider search and rescue community throughout 2024, with the 3 Irish Coast Guard Maritime Coordination Centres in Dublin, Malin and Valencia tasking RNLI lifeboats on 699 occasions and launching the Community Inshore Rescue Service on 73 occasions. In December 2024, the first 2 of the AW189 helicopters provided by Bristow Ireland Limited under the new aviation service contract commenced operation in Shannon. The other 4 helicopters were scheduled for delivery early in the new year. The priority of the phased transition to the new contract was ensuring the safety of the helicopter crews, Irish Coast Guard members, and other stakeholders who will be working alongside the helicopters. This important milestone was achieved through positive collaboration between the 2 contractors and the Department of Transport and support from the wider search and rescue community. The other 3 search and rescue bases are continuing the transition to the new contract and will commence operation in the first half of 2025. The Coast Guard also looked forward to welcoming the first fixed-wing aircraft to the IRCG fleet this year. In our next report, the UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency has announced plans to update personal locator beacon registration, bringing it into line with the requirements for EPIRBS. Under the new proposals, all 406 MHz personal locator beacons used in a marine environment aboard powerboats, ribs, tenders, sailing dinghies, keelboats, motor or sailing yachts, jet skis, flight boards, and e-foils will have to be registered. The consultation has been extended until the 21st of February. Depending on the outcome, mandatory personal locator beacon registration could come into effect by summer of this year. Known as PLBs, the devices are designed to send an SOS signal, along with the wearer's location, to the rescue authorities when manually activated by the user. The MCA wants to bring PLBs under the same mandatory registration requirements as emergency position indicating radio beacons. It would apply to all PLBs used at sea, along the coast, and on inland rivers, lakes and canals. As more news emerges on this proposal, IIMS will bring you the outcome. Next, the EMSA has published its annual overview of marine casualties and incidents 2024, which presents statistics on marine casualties and incidents that cover the period from the 1st of January 2014 to the 31st of December 2023. In 2023, most of the indicators, such as the number of occurrences, ships lost, fatalities or injuries, are near or below the average values for the entire period from 2014 to 2023. In 2023, 2,676 marine casualties and incidents were reported, which represent an increase of 49 marine casualties and incidents compared to 2022 and a decrease of 66 marine casualties and incidents compared to 2021. The total number of marine casualties and incidents reported in the period from 2014 to 2023 was 26,595, with an annual average of 2,660. The number of casualties and incidents in 2023 is 0.6% higher than the annual average and 0.7% higher than the pre-pandemic average of 2,658 occurrences. Read the report at iims.org.uk/news. Up next, new guidance on smaller remotely operated unmanned vessels has been released, published by the UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency. Marine Guidance Notice 705M came into force on the 31st of December 2024, setting out a pathway for operation of the rapidly growing number of high-tech ROUVs between 2.5 and 4.5 meters in length. It puts the UK among the first in the world to formally set out the scope of regulation and operators' obligations in this emerging category, as well as the MCA's commitments to well-founded oversight that keeps people safe. Publication is the first step since extensive consultation began in 2022 with a range of maritime industries. The core of guidance is a 2-year general exemption for eligible ROU versus it runs alongside research commitments by the MCA to ensure future updates are underpinned by firm evidence and clear criteria. Key obligations are set out for owners and operators, such as for eligible ROUVs to be under constant supervision by a human able to take control at any time. A safety assurance assessment must be declared before operation, and speed will be limited to 6 knots or planing speed, whichever is lower. Other safety requirements cover vessel visibility, anti-fouling, and remote camera capability. The MCA has committed to reviewing the MGN by the 31st of December 2027 to ensure the conditions remain supportive for ROUV technology to progress safely. You can read the MGN in the IIMS news section. In our next story, a groundbreaking shrink wrap material by BioAqua Life is making waves in the marine industry. It combines eco-friendly innovation with practical enhancements that simplify boat maintenance and winterization. Entirely biodegradable and easier to install, this new product promises to transform how boats are protected during off-season or repair work. Manufactured in the United States, the BioAqua Life shrink wrap addresses one of the most pressing environmental concerns: plastic waste. Unlike conventional shrink wraps made from polymers that resist decomposition, BioAqua Life's material incorporates a monomer-based plastic. This design allows microbes in landfill environments to consume the plastic, breaking it down into harmless soil within 3 years. Importantly, this process avoids the issue of microplastics, which are prevalent with traditional materials. Given that over 46,000 tons of shrink wrap are used annually by the 6 million yachts in the US alone, this innovation offers a significant step toward reducing microplastic pollution in landfills and aquifers. Beyond its green credentials, the BioAqua Life shrink wrap stands out for its ease of installation. The inclusion of printed center lines and distance markers at 60-centimeter intervals eliminates guesswork, enabling faster and more accurate alignment. Simon Milne, BioAqua Life's founder and a former professional yachtsman, emphasized that these features were designed with labor efficiency in mind. By streamlining the installation process, this product reduces labor costs and time, an important factor for large-scale shrink wrapping projects. As environmental concerns continue to shape the yachting and marine industries, BioAqua Life's innovative shrink wrap offers a timely and practical solution. Its combination of sustainability, durability, and efficiency is setting a new standard for shrink wrap materials worldwide. For our next report, the UK Maritime Accident Investigation Branch has shared an update from the MAIB on accidents involving dive boats operating in the Red Sea. The MAIB had been notified of 3 accidents within 20 months affecting UK citizens on Egyptian dive boats operating in the Red Sea. These include the capsize of Carlton Queen on the 24th of April 2023, resulting in abandonment of the vessel with all passengers and crew rescued. Also, of a fire on Hurricane on the 11th of June 2023, resulting in the deaths of 3 UK nationals. And the capsize of Sea Story on the 25th of November 2024, resulting in up to 18 fatalities, people missing, including 2 UK nationals. Following the protocols in the IMO Casualty Investigation Code, the MAIB has formally registered the UK as a substantially interested state in the Egyptian safety investigations into these accidents. From the evidence the MAIB has obtained so far, there is cause for serious concern about the safety of some of the Egyptian dive boats operating in the Red Sea. The Chief Inspector of Marine Accidents has written to the Egyptian Authority for Maritime Safety, setting out his concerns and seeking full participation in the EAMS investigations. In the meantime, the MAIB is preparing a safety bulletin setting out the areas of concern that individuals intending an afloat-based diving holiday in the region should take into account before booking. And for our second-to-last report, a new boat show is set to launch in the UK this year, with Plymouth Boat Fest being held at Plymouth Yacht Haven on the 21st of June. Yacht Havens is set to host the highly anticipated festival at Plymouth Yacht Haven, bringing together maritime enthusiasts, families, and the local community for a day of nautical fun and exploration, as well as showcasing the region's maritime heritage and marine services. The festival will feature a variety of boats, yachts, innovative watercraft, and traditional vessels. Attendees will have the opportunity to board the vessels, meet industry experts, and learn about the latest advancements in boat technology and marine services. For our final report, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has released information on new safety management system requirements for domestic commercial vessels, which comes into effect from the 1st of June this year. Some of the key changes include simplified SMS. Owners of some vessels under 7.5 meters will be eligible for a simplified SMS. Use AMSA's online simplified SMS tool to find out if the simplified SMS applies to you. Cargo and dangerous goods. Vessels undertaking cargo operations, including the carriage of dangerous goods, will need to include a procedure in their SMS outlining how they manage the specific risks. Key operational procedures to be covered in every SMS. Class 1, 2 and 3 vessel owners will need to have procedures covering the key vessel operations in their SMS, if relevant. Record of vessel modifications. Vessel owners will need to identify risks to vessel stability in the vessel's risk assessment and maintain a record of vessel modifications impacting stability. This does not apply to Class 4 vessels, and different rules may apply to vessels eligible to operate under a simplified SMS. You can read more at amsa.gov.au.